Philippians 2, right from verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Up to here, this precious and glorious word of God, let us stand and pray. Faithful God, we thank you for this hour of grace. We have come together again this evening, Lord, to call upon your precious name, to sing praises to you, to offer you thanks and honor. For you alone, O Lord, deserve praise and honor. Lord, we too wish to hold fast to the word that has been given to us. O Lord, for the glory of your servant, whom you sent, Lord, who made so much effort to put the word of truth upon the lampstand, to restore all things, Lord, and we have accepted it by grace. And that is why we want to hold fast to it and give thanks for it and offer you praise and glory. We also ask you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us this evening through your precious and holy word. You certainly still have something to say to us, Lord. For every word that you give us, we rejoice in it and believe in it, and want to hold on to it until the day of your coming. Glory to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Receive the praise, receive the thanks and the honor from all our hearts and mouths. Lord, also this evening, and continue to be with us, Lord. This is my prayer and the prayer of us all in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we also pray for our sister. Lord, you know her need and you know her misery and illness. We ask you with all our hearts, Lord, to intervene there too. No distance is too far for you. But you are the God who can be present everywhere, O Lord. And so we ask you to help, Lord, and to lift up all those who are sick or downcast, even in our midst, Lord. We worship you and lay everything before you, Lord. Praise be to your wonderful name. We give you alone the glory. Praise and thanks be to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again to worship. We have a large number of prayer requests before us, which we'll bring to the Lord with all our hearts, asking Him to bless, to hear, to answer. There are also many greetings from individuals, especially from Zurich. I heard a brother in Zurich say that he had been coming under God's word for many years and had been in Krefeld 2 or 3 times. And he said to another brother, I was not far away, he said, Brother, I have never seen such heartiness, love and understanding for each other in all these years. And I believe that's what God's word must accomplish. It has to leave a mark. The word cannot fade into space. It must penetrate our hearts and accomplish something. And not just something, but what God has sent it to do. And we believe that it does. Sometimes it is a serious word, a word that cuts or penetrates. But God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And sometimes these are things that we cannot divide. A lot of things are mental with people, and they make them out to be spiritual. But God's word separates soul and spirit, marrow and bone. So nothing remains that is not separated, that is not put right. The weekend was a blessing for me. And I wonder how long I can ignore the request to make more time available for Switzerland. There's always a deep pain associated with everything you do. I was in good spirits before the meeting, and then I got some very bad news 10 minutes before it started. And after that, the blessing was almost over for me. And I only dared to go forward by looking up to God. And after the meeting, a brother came, one of the very few who addressed me by my first name, which is unusual for me anyway. But years ago he told me, Brother Ewald, you have some friends in Switzerland, and I am one of them. And after the service, he came, which happens very rarely, maybe in years once, he came forward, and the tears ran down his face. And he said, "Ewald, today God spoke through you." And that may mean nothing to you, but when you go to the front, almost empty and shattered, to bring God's word, then it is a comfort when people have been blessed by the preaching of the word, and that a piecemeal can be made into a perfect thing in a person's heart through the Spirit. Paul says, our knowledge, everything, is piecemeal, but God is perfect and His Word is perfect. And out of the piecemeal, the many fragments that we can bring, God is able to present a harmonious whole that is perfect. And so, it is always balanced by the grace of God. But the brethren's desire to be there more often and to devote more time to the people is growing louder and louder. Not a single Sunday goes by when I'm there without people consecrating their lives to God, whether there are 3 or 4, 9 or 10, or however many there may be. And these people need some kind of guidance. They need a shepherd, so to speak. And we would have wished years ago, and this with all our heart, that God could bless brothers who could be a blessing to others. And basically, I still wish today that God could bless people who don't think of themselves, but really have the cause of God on their heart. But we are here today to thank God for what He has done. I believe with all my heart that we are living in the last days of preparation. And I believe, as I said earlier, that God's word must not circle around in our heads or fade into space, but must take dwelling in our hearts and bring about and fulfill what God has sent it to do. And we have heard and read here in the opening word, "Therefore, if an exhortation spoken in Christ," we have already looked at this word here, "if an exhortation is not spoken in Christ, then we can do without it, then we can forget it, then it causes harm. If an exhortation spoken in Christ," an exhortation, as we can speak it in the name of the Lord and would speak it in His presence, how would we treat each other in the direct presence of the Lord? Be honest. How would we treat each other? What would we say about each other if the Lord were in our immediate vicinity, if we were fully aware and certain of His presence? What would we say? What would we think? What about my words, about your words, about my thoughts, about your thoughts, about all of us? Sometimes we use words or deal with words in a way that it's no longer nice. And the Lord says, whoever says to his brother, thou fool, he shall be in danger of hellfire. And whoever says, you are stupid, shall be in danger of judgment. And we say, God alone knows what we say. And on top of that, we are the most pious people living on earth. Not like that. Not with God. We can have a habitual, acquired piety that counts for nothing in the eyes of God. What we need is a deep thing that God can do in our hearts, that we truly stand with Him, with His Word, with His cause, and with each other from the bottom of our hearts, and trust Him to do what He has promised. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, that's what it's all about. Where is the fellowship of the Spirit? There where the Spirit can establish and build fellowship. Fellowship of the Spirit is where the Spirit brings us into agreement with the Word. That is fellowship of the Spirit. Everything else is fellowship through knowledge, fellowship through a doctrine, fellowship in a denomination. And there are enough fellowships. But fellowship of the Spirit is something completely different. And that is where God wants to bring us. Fellowship of the Spirit. And then also, if any bowels and mercies, deep compassion and mercies. You may not be able to fully comprehend what compassion can trigger in a person when they are in need, what divine compassion can do. And when Brother Branham says in that one sermon that God heals in different ways, and he even says he heals through love. When divine love can flow through me and you to others, and we can understand him and communicate to him divinely, then the person is lifted up in faith and God touches him and heals him. There are many ways that God can use to do His work. And then, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And this like-minded is told to us in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the one mind we need. And then to strive with one accord for the same goal. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. I have, and I say this really not because I am disgruntled about it, but because it has grieved me to hear that we have not given many brethren, or some brethren, an opportunity to serve in this place through all these years. And I ask you who are here today, especially you who have been believers for many years, do you know of a church from earlier times where so many brothers were given room and space to take part in the Word in this way or that way? Did we rule here? Did we spread our elbows here? Or have we everyone, whether from inside or outside? Have we not given space to everyone? And I still think of the prophecy today, and I emphasize this. I believe with all my heart that God has given true gifts, and it is too sad that they have fallen into disrepute. And I think here of the one thing when it was said, don't take the second place and don't withdraw, but go and take the place I have appointed for you. I really, as far as I know, and God help me, but as far as I can remember, I didn't push myself forward. Of course, I had to do the translations, but otherwise, we really gave the brothers the opportunity, and at the end we said, come into the room before the service, and whoever has a word should feel free to bring it. But, as we all know, you can't make amends. Only God alone can do it. Here we are told, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And if we can deny ourselves and truly ask God to bless others, and as I've often said, if we want to be blessed, we must be able to rejoice deeply and sincerely and heartily over everyone God has already blessed. And if we can sincerely rejoice that God is blessing and using a brother, then our time has come that He can bless and use us. Let nothing be done out of vain glory. I have sometimes said it, that I could withdraw here and try to somehow come to myself and be able to serve God freely. How many would be in favor of me withdrawing for a while? Your heads go from left to right, but it really doesn't matter. May the will of God be done. We are out of the childish age and want God to come into His own. I had to read a word just now from 2 Chronicles 31, and I was struck by something strange. 2 Chronicles 30 from verse 15. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood, which they received of the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers, for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people." Here is something marvelous in this word. The people of God came together, and we read that many had not obeyed the law of purification to keep the Passover. And the Levites stood in the breach and offered the sacrifice for them and sprinkled the blood on them. They did not say, "You have not purified yourselves, so stay out now," but offered the sacrifice for them. True priestly service can be read here in these lines. And when Hezekiah even says here, "But Hezekiah prayed for them," he could have said, and also the Levites could have said, "Listen, some other time, not now." They ate the Passover, looking up to the Lord, even though they were unworthy according to the law. But they sought God in their hearts and longed for him in their hearts. And God looked at their hearts and had others sacrifice in their place and sprinkled the blood, and they ate. And Hezekiah goes into prayer. What a marvelous thing! No one spoke, no one rebuked, but everyone acted as God put it in his heart. And the end of it was that God heard his prayer, and no one was harmed. Everyone was blessed. And Hezekiah says in his prayer, "The good Lord pardon everyone." Is this not the attitude of Jesus Christ? Is this not priestly service? They didn't say, those from Zebulun and those from Issachar and all these people who have come, leave them out for now. No, they ate. They ate, as we would say today, unworthily, to paraphrase 1 Corinthians 11. But the blood was shed. They were sprinkled. They sought God in their hearts. And when it says here, "for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But they ate. Their hearts were still attached to God and his ordinances, even though they themselves had not obeyed all the ordinances given by God. And who of us has obeyed every word of God?" And then we see Jesus, the high priest, who shed his blood, who purchased us with his blood. We may be under the sprinkling of his blood. None other than he has prayed for us, and no calamity must befall us. Here it says, "The good Lord pardon everyone." Is this not a priestly soul? The good Lord pardon everyone. Could this not be our attitude, the attitude of Jesus? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He is forgiveness, and he has forgiven. He is reconciliation. He has reconciled. He is eternal life and has given us eternal life. He is the Son of God and has made us sons of God. He is the High Priest and has made us priests. He is the King and has made us kings. Everything is a finished work. And it says, that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers. Though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary, but he came into the sanctuary. He had a desire in his heart to take part in what God had prepared. They came unclean. They left clean. That is the proclamation of the gospel. And it says here, the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. God will hear every prayer that is brought before the face of God for others in a priestly manner. He cannot hear someone who comes and says, I am not like this one or like others. But if someone comes and says, Lord, remember all brothers and sisters, remember me, we are before your face, and if anything does not please you, we cannot help it. We are here. We would like to sit at your table. Lord, hear us. Sprinkle your blood on us. Do not count anything against us, but bless us from the riches of your grace. What do we have that we have not received that we could boast about? Paul says, if anyone wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. And that God is gracious and a rewarder of all those who seek him. I was touched by this word. I only read it in a hurry, but it still moved me inwardly. The people of Israel acted outwardly according to God's word, but inwardly they were not what God wanted them to be. And yet the Passover lamb and the blood were there. The intercession was there. The sacrifice was there. The service took place. And the Lord, the good Lord, as it is written here, forgave them all and turned to them and blessed them. Shall we not this evening look up to our Lord, who is not just anyone, but our Savior, the Lamb that let itself be slain, the High Priest, who offered the sacrifice, who died interceding, and who still intercedes for everyone today? Should we not come to him in faith and say, Lord, look upon us in favor. Lord, I have nothing to bring. Everything, Lord, is you. May God, through the shed blood of the Lamb and through the Word and the Spirit, create an intimate fellowship of the Spirit among those redeemed by the blood, so that he may take pleasure in us and bless us. And it is our prayer tonight that he would bless all who are somehow, and I say this with a heavy heart, who are somehow under the influence of another spirit. May God have mercy, deliver, and give grace. Judging and talking about it changes nothing, but prayer changes things. Let us pray and believe. And we can already say today that the Lord will emerge victorious in the end, and that God's love will triumph in His own. There will be nothing left of hatred, envy, jealousy, or anything. Everything will be gone. The nature of the Lord, the divine mind, will in the end, after all purification, after all trials, after all that we have to go through, in the end, it will have turned out that only the dross has fallen away, and the pure gold is purified and found to be more precious than the perishable gold that is refined in the fire. May God strengthen our faith and always give us the right attitude by grace to recognize when we come into His presence. And just let us know this. Basically, no one is such that he can appear before God just like that. When we come before God, it is truly through the blood of the Lamb. Through this we are redeemed and cleansed. There is no other way for anyone on earth to meet God. For the Lord says through Job, even the heavens are unclean before you, and His angels He does not trust. Before God, the Holy One, everything is basically unclean. Let us not deceive ourselves. But there is a multitude that is cleansed, whose sin and iniquity have not been imputed to them, because the blood of the Lamb speaks for us, and as such, they are pardoned by God, visited by God, and receive forgiveness. As such, we also come into His presence tonight, ashamed on the one hand, full of gratitude on the other, to bring Him glory for everything from our hearts. May God bless us through the contemplation of His Word and give us all grace to pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You with all my heart for the holy Word of God, for the precious thoughts expressed in it. And I thank You that You speak to us through Your Word and through Your Spirit, that You teach us and show us the right attitude. Beloved Lord, we come to You. We want to do as Your people have done, to look upon the sacrificial Lamb, interceding for one another before Your holy face. O God in heaven, cleanse by Your blood, sanctify, O Lord, and glorify Thy name, and confirm Thy word, and help all who have written. You know their need. We ask You, have mercy and help. In Jesus' name, amen.